doesn't happen because I want the miracle. It happens because God wants the miracle. And the greatest challenge is to find out what he wants. Find that wave of God and find yourself safe to shore as you surf the wave that he's produced. I'm not a surfer. I got a cousin who married a professional surfer, but I don't know what to do out there in the water. But I do know this, you ride that wave instead of trying to make your own. And I want to encourage you, open your hearts to the Lord today in song. Open your hearts to him in tithes. Open your hearts in missions. Open your hearts as you hear the challenge of God's word today. You won't be sorry.
He's coming on the clouds, kings and kingdoms will bow down, and every chain will break as broken hearts declare his praise. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chain, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before him. So open up the gates, make way before the King of Kings. The God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before him. The Lord Almighty. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before him. Sin of the world, his blood breaks the chain, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb, every knee will bow before him.
Yeah.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but He brought me in His love for me. Oh, His love for me. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free. Child of God, yes I am. He at last He has ransomed me, His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, He died for me. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes I am. Chosen, not forsaken, I am who You say I am. You are for me, not against me, I am who You say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken, I am who You say I am. You are for me, not against me, I am who You say. I am who You say I am. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes I am.
You are way maker, miracle worker,
light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you, yeah, I worship you. Lord, you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working.
He's the way maker.
Yes, he is.
The problem that we struggle with for this entire song, if we're honest, is that if we had a choice, we'd prefer to be the way makers. We would prefer to set the agenda for God and tell him, bless this. We would rather do it our way than to do it his way, if we're honest. Because it takes faith, it takes humility. It takes knowing we're wrong and he's right. It takes a lot of maturity to see this song become your reality. to recognize, God, you're here even in the midst of this chaos. You're here in the midst of this storm. You're here in the midst of my selfish pride. You're here. But when I submit to your authority in my life, when I submit to your direction and your lead by the Holy Spirit, you, the way maker,
yes,
perform the miracles.
Thank you, Lord.
The one who has the agenda, which has been set before the beginning of time, is the one that has the plan. Lord, I need to follow your plan. As crazy and off the wall as it may sound at times, I need to trust you.
Oh, yes.
Put my pride aside. Put my selfish desires beneath me to rise up as one who has submitted myself to you and your authority to do it your way. The way maker has a way. It may not be my way, but it's the right way. And I pray, God, that you will anoint your listeners today, each and every one who tunes in, who is here, who is able to hear what you have to say. May we follow your direction to see the miraculous become our new reality. We pray this all in Jesus' holy name. And together we say, amen. Amen. God bless you as you're seated. I'm going to ask Pastor Emma to come directly to the platform up here and share some vision about missions and a specific couple that she has prepared for you. God bless you, Pastor Emma.
So good to be in the house of the Lord today. Hallelujah. And so happy to get to talk about missions to you. That's something that's really on my heart, and I'm trying and hoping and praying that it'll be on all of your hearts also. We want you to know our missionaries, and it's important that you realize that this church supports over 20 missionaries. And we're wanting you to get familiar with them as you give missions offerings. And these offerings are going out to support these folks that are on the field. You know, wherever they win souls, wherever they touch lives and minister to people, you are a part of it. You, because you give. And it doesn't matter how much. You know, our BGMC, our children's ministry there, and our regular missions offerings, each one of us, as we put something in the offering, we're saying, I'm a part of that soul being won to Christ. I'm a part of that. And so we want you to know these folks. We're asking you to make faith pledges. We need to up our giving in this church. And so we're hoping that folks will take on a missionary or two or three and say, you know, when I give an offering, I'm giving for this one. I'm wanting to support this one. And, you know, it's all going to go together in that offering that we send once a month to support them. But you'll be a part of it, and you'll feel more of a part of it. I'm introducing you today, and you've probably seen their picture, Terry and Beth Johnson, in Brazil. And I'm presenting them to you today so you could get to know them a little bit. I've met them and talked with them, and I emailed to them, and they email me back. And so I have a real connection to them. I would like you to know them a little bit personally. They had two boys, and I believe they were each one in their teens. One died of a sickness, and one was killed in an accident. So the children they have are the children of Brazil. And they take them on very seriously to minister to them, to meet their needs. Sometimes knowing something personal like that about people, you realize, hey, these are folks like us. They have heartaches. They have hurts in life. And here they are on the mission field serving the Lord to the best of their ability. They can't do that without us. All the ministries that they do. I wanted to read to you the things that they do. Even during this COVID-19 pandemic, they were able to maintain the Brazil Extension School and the Brazil Advanced School of Theology distant education courses through online classes. They did that. And they also continued with the work with Children of Brazil Outreach, Latin American Child Care, and they're active in compassion ministries, music ministries. Last year, Beth led a 400-voice women's choir. So when I say active in music ministry, that's very active. And if you notice by the bulletin, we had these prayer cards that you can pick up if you want to take and remind yourself. Some people put them on their refrigerator, and then when they go by the refrigerator, they'll pray for them. Or you can put them with your everyday prayer things that you pray for. And you'll see on the back all of these ministries that I related to you that they're involved in. So I want to encourage you to become a prayer partner, to become a giving partner to Terry and Beth Johnson in Brazil, and to be a prayer partner and giver for all the missionaries that we support in this church. And Pastor's going to continue on with what I've shared with you a little bit.
This before. There we go. I just want to explain just and clarify just a couple things that Pastor Emma said. First of all, we would love for you to, within and of yourself, make a commitment to a missionary, but I don't want you to designate your check to that missionary. And the reason for that is we actually have a almost double, if not more than double, amount from this church goes towards missions every month. We get a report from our giving at the end of the year, and we give over $30,000 a year towards missions. Wow! That's like, praise God. Here's the trouble we're having. Somewhere along the way, in our hearts, which are big hearts, decided that we want to support certain missionaries as they've come to visit us. We've made that determination by numbers of reasons. Somebody may have said, I would give X amount of money every month if you'll pick this missionary up. And so the board makes that decision. They say, yeah, we'll do that. And so as time goes on, that list grows. But as you know, time goes on and people move. And unfortunately, sometimes people pass away. And we are still responsible to care for those missionary promises of which we've given. Some people of our church, I've come to realize, actually give specifically directly to General Counsel and get our church's name listed as the beneficiary of saying, we're giving and this church gets credit. That's a good thing, amen? The problem is we have X amount of dollars, and if you want to look in your bulletin, it'll show you we are committed every single month to give $1,000 from this church towards missions. Now, that doesn't seem like a tremendous amount of money, but if you've already designated $500 a month towards a missionary directly without going through our church offering, guess what? We can't meet that budget without additional support. How many understand that? Okay, so here's what I'm asking. If you're already stretching yourself with your faith promises towards missions, praise God, God bless you, keep up the good work. Amen. If you have not yet made a faith promise, I'm speaking directly to you. What will you be willing to give? On the back of your bulletin, I have changed the prayer card into a support card. And you'll see that it says, Glendive Assembly of God, Missions, Faith, Promise. I believe that there's a large number of people that are represented in our church body of family members that has not yet given directly to missions. Or maybe you only throw in $5 here and there. And I'm asking you to step out in faith, pray to God, ask him, what do you want me to give towards missions in general? And I'm going to put that in the offering plate once a month. And we're going to meet our budget. In addition to everything else that's going on from you personally, whether you give already or not, I'm asking you to make a faith promise towards missions that we can then directly send towards General Council on behalf of our support that we're pledged to do ourselves. We have made that promise. So whether the money comes in or not, it comes out of General if it's not supported by the missions department. I'm going to ask you to pray about how much will you be willing to do as a sacrificial giving above your tithes towards missions. If it helps you to specifically think of the Johnsons, say, well, I'm mentally saying I'm supporting the Johnsons X amount. How much do we do that every month? Well, all missionaries are at least $30 or more. Some are $100 a month. And so if you want to say, hey, I'm going to pretend or think in my mind I'm giving towards this family, that's great if that helps you. Take the pledge card, the prayer card, and all of that, and if that helps you to do that. But what we really need is an undesignated, specifically, missions giving from you that can then help us keep our missions department from going in the red every month. Is that cool? That was a lot of explanation. I'm not going to do that every month, but this was the first Sunday of this new thing that we're doing where Pastor Emma, once a month, is going to share a vision about a missionary couple that we do support. That's right. You did tell me that. You're the director of this new thing. I'm just the oversight. And there will be different people that will share. You'll notice also on that bulletin, I wanted to say fabricated, but that sounds negative now, and it's not supposed to. But anyway, this new missions pledge form also has a pledge form for the Vision 2020 Building and Renovations Fund. We already have I won't go into details. Because of certain circumstances, we actually have $15,000 right now in that fund that can go directly towards renovations of our church. We're going to need more than that. If you want to give towards that as well, we encourage you to be part of that giving. And so that's enough of me talking about missions and offering. How about that? Let's take our offering now. Why don't you stand up with me if you haven't had a chance to give yet. You can designate those missions checks. You can use your one check, and you can designate a percentage or a certain dollar amount, however you want to do that, towards the offering today. But I'm going to pray, and you're welcome to come forward and we'll take the offering now, and also BGMC, and then we'll send the kids for BGMC. So, Lord God, thank you for the blessing it is to give. Thank you that we have an online ability as well through our website that we can designate certain funds towards specific things, whether it's tithes or whether it's missions. And I pray, Lord God, that each and every giver will be blessed for their faithfulness in supporting the ministries of this church body and the missionaries that we support. We just ask for your blessing for each and every child, all the way up to the oldest of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can come and do your offering at this time, and we'll get ready to dismiss the kids as soon as we're done with the offering. Hallelujah. You want me to do it, or you want to? Okay, as you're doing the offering right now, Pastor Jason has a request. He has put together with PVC pipe a new stage platform for the puppet ministries that they are able to do. We need someone with skills. How many of you got skills? Yeah, Jacob and Ashlyn got skills. Okay, now maybe I need to be a little more specific. How many got sewing skills? Oh, right. I don't know. Is this a sewing kind of job? We need someone that would be willing to help put together that puppet stage material so that it looks awesome. If you've got sewing skills, capabilities, machines, whatever, or great hands that do that stitching, speak with Pastor Jason and Pastor Jennifer, please. Thank you for that. And we will dismiss those kids to BGMC. And you have a great meeting. And all of you, while they're going, can turn with me to the book of Jonah. If my tablet wants to wake up, that would be nice. Wake up, wake up. Nope. Okay. Let's try that again. My tablet doesn't want to wake up. I might go get my phone if I'm going to have to do that. I got a phone. I got a backup plan. Okay. Jonah, chapter 1, verses 1 through verse 3. Exciting stuff right here. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it.
Just hold it. Hold it just a minute. Oh, for crying out loud. I've got a complaint. I have a complaint, Pastor.
Well, I was right in the middle of something here.
I know you were, but I have just got this complaint that I have just have to tell you.
Oh.
And my complaint is...
Okay.
You've been preaching too many good sermons.
Oh.
I mean, I'm telling you, man.
Sorry?
I've got this Vision 2020 and going out and stepping out beyond what we, you know, out of the box to reach this community and reach the people.
Yeah.
It is just... I mean, God's been working on me. And I went home, and I've been praying the last few weeks about what God can use me in and what I can do.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to be out there, and I'm going to be praying to the masses, and people are going to be coming to God, and people are going to be saved and all this type of stuff.
Yeah.
Do you know what he did?
No.
He put it in my heart. Johnny. You know.
John?
Johnny,
okay.
Yeah. He lives about four houses down from us, and
okay.
He's a bit of an odd duck, you know.
Oh.
Yeah, he's one of those extra grace people.
Sure.
Takes a lot of praying for, a lot of time messing around with in there. I want to see him come to God, but I'll tell you what, it drives me crazy.
Sure.
He puts Tabasco on everything. Eggs and cereal all that type of stuff. He just likes it.
Cereal.
It's a little weird, you know.
Sounds like Pastor Jason, actually.
Yeah. Okay. Then, after his accident there a little bit, you know, he's got this dog that runs down in the neighborhood and gets into all kinds of people in the yards and that type of stuff. I can't stand dogs.
Right.
They drive me crazy. So this dog, I said, I happen to be the only one in the neighborhood, and it all come to me that this dog likes.
Really?
And I have to get this dog back to his yard. Because since his accident here, he hasn't been able to get out in 6 months. I don't understand why he tried to get rid of an anthill with an M80 and some kerosene.
Oh.
It didn't go well for him.
Wow.
But anyway, what God has told me to do here is that Johnny needs the Lord.
Yeah.
He needs him, and he's asked me to do a little thing, and I'm not sure what this is, but he hasn't been able to get out of the house in his backyard there. And for the last 6 weeks, it's just, that dog back there has filled up that whole yard with landmines all over the place and everything. Boy. And he's at the shovel.
Aha, I get it.
I'm on my way to go do that.
Yeah. So,
but you know what? I didn't want to do it at first. I've been doing it for the last about 2 weeks now, thinking,
right.
You know, but God, you gotta let me do something else. But he told me to do this. I wasn't going to go and hide and get away from it and everything. So I decided that I'm going to do it, you know. And maybe we can get him near the church, and maybe we can witness to him.
Okay.
And he can get to know Jesus. Because that's the goal, isn't it?
That is absolutely the goal.
And so to step out of the box a little bit, but so I'm going to do it. I'm going to go out there and pick up
some dog doo-doo.
Yep. For this is the day the Lord has made, and therefore I will rejoice with every single pile.
Wow.
So anyway.
That's awesome, Doug. I'm glad that you're doing that. Is this a big dog by chance?
It is.
Okay.
It is.
Well, and, you know, good luck with that. You know, I'm glad you're the one called. And
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. I enjoy that.
I'm sure you're going to do great.
Okay.
It looks like the bag's got stuff in it already. I hope you're not going to drop it.
These are empty bags.
Oh, good.
You know, I'm going to need it. It's a big dog. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I'm going to get him some new food too.
Thank you, Doug. Wow, that's an interesting call to do something like that. Which brings us back to Jonah, believe it or not, because Jonah is also called to do something specific, and it doesn't sound good for him because he doesn't look like he really wants to do it. In verse 3, as I was saying, it says, Jonah rose to flee. Not flee like scratch like a dog, but run away, right? And he goes to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish. And this is the really interesting part, away from the presence of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for the blessing it is to look into the stories of your word. Stories that are based on true instances and situations. I'm thankful, Lord, that we can learn from Jonah. And I pray, God, that you will challenge us, as the illustration actually revealed, that we will be faithful even in the most minute, small details that may or may not be enjoyed or fun, but simply to obey and do your will. I pray, God, that you will lead and guide us by your holy word into your truth, and that we will submit to your authority in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to show you a visual of what Jonah actually did, and I've got just a couple of maps. The first map here is going to show where Tarshish is in comparison to Nineveh. Look at this. Here's where Jonah's at. Does this slide up well enough? Maybe it doesn't show up on there. That's okay. You have Joppa. That's where Jonah finds the ship. And so he wants to get to Tarshish. You see how far away that is? 2,500 miles. He's not just going to take a short trip. He's going all out. He's going to do his best to get away from God. And so that's the plan. And that's where Nineveh is in comparison to where he is at. Now the next map will show his actual journey. There it is. He heads away from Joppa. He's going to go to Tarshish, but guess what happens? A storm arises. And rather than get all the way across the Mediterranean over to Spain, Portugal region, all over where Tarshish is, he gets looped back over north of Cyprus, and he heads over to the shoreline, and he's safely ashore, as close as you can get to Nineveh and still be on the big water. How's that for a plan? And I just wanted you to see how obstinate and how willing Jonah was to say no to the call of God. Now, one thing that's really clear here, well, I should say it different. I wrote it down. It is not clear from our text if Jonah was actually seeking to hear from God. Did he actually want to know God's plan? Was he praying, Lord, give me your will, give me your plan? Or did God simply just show up one day in his spirit and speak to him? Did he show up as an angel of the Lord? Did he show up as himself in some kind of bodily form like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego also saw when there was a fourth man in the fiery furnace? How did this take place? We don't really know the details. But we do know that his will was found. God's will was revealed. But rather than accept God's will and do as he commanded, he decides to run. And I mentioned it in the reading of the text. What I find so extremely interesting is that Jonah did not just run in the opposite direction of where he was supposed to go. He believed he could hide from the presence of the Lord. Wow. This, in and of itself, reveals the immaturity of his faith and the lack of understanding of the God that we serve. The cool side factor is this: God knew in advance what Jonah would do, and he used his disobedience to become an even greater testimony to the people he would later confront. You might wonder, well, how is that possible? In Nineveh, the God that they served was half man, half fish. Half man, half fish God. That's who they served. That's who they worshiped. And who comes along? A man who spent 3 days, 3 nights in the belly of one of those creatures, regurgitated, thrown up onto the beach, and had to make his journey the rest of the way and get there and says, just so you all know, you're all going to die from hellfire, brimstone. God's going to completely demolish and destroy you because of your evil. And I just came from a fish to tell you so. Can you imagine what they were thinking? Like, oh my goodness, the guy smells like the belly of a fish. He did come from a fish. He came from a great big whale, some kind of thing out in the Mediterranean. This is freaky. And so that's why I believe God knew in advance what was going to happen. He prepared that fish, that whale, whatever you want to call it, and he accomplished his will, and he did it even better than what Jonah could have done had he went directly to Nineveh. No, I'm not recommending run away from God, get as far as you can from him, and get spanked, Holy Spirit spanking, right? And then God will use you even better. I'm not recommending that as a path for you. I would rather see you say, yes, Lord. Yes, sir. Of course, Lord. I will, Lord. And when God says jump, you ask how high, right? That kind of a thing. That would be the best recommendation. The challenge is this: do the will of God. Do the will of the Lord. It's such a simple thing. It's such a simple thing to say, yes, Lord, I will. And yet, it's so difficult. It's so hard to say yes. Because we'd rather do it our way. I still remember back in Trinity Bible College when I was a student there, and I was feeling my oats, if you will. I was stretching myself a little bit. I was a little bit more independent than I've ever been. And I was a pretty independent guy anyways. And I was making it through that senior year, or that freshman year, and I played football. And we still, to this day, have the best winning record of Trinity Bible College football ever. Hallelujah. Woo! 6 games we won. Two we lost. One we tied, and it's like fun times, good times. Right, I made it through that semester and made it through some challenges of life, just all that stuff, you know, going through, you know, figuring out life, figuring out girls. I'm still working on that one, but I had some learning experiences along the way. And I had my short, well, not so short, like now I'm really short hair, but I had the spike. And it was looking a little shaggy, you know, got it cut. But I thought, you know, just leave the back. Just leave the back a little bit long. Come on. I don't know if I can officially call it a mullet, but if you ever had a mullet, you got to say amen.
Amen.
Hey, all right, I got another compadre. Okay, so I don't even know what it was that it was, but I had... It wasn't like, you know, really short in the sides. It was a little, but anyway, it was getting a little long. Well, guess what? Trinity Bible College has a rule, or at least they did. You can't have hair longer than the bottom of the collar of your shirt. I was pushing that a little bit, and I actually pushed it past that collar. Now, it had a little bit of a wing to it, so you couldn't tell. It's pretty awesome, right, Tina? We were dating about that time, by the way. We had this little 2 week period or so where we dated at the end of my freshman year. But anyway, it was a little winged out, and my RA, Noah's RD, he came up to me and says, Kevin, come over here. I think your hair is a little long. And I was a nice guy. I stayed out of trouble mostly, you know. And I thought, you know, that thing that's inside of you rises up, right? It's kind of like, who do you think you are? And I went over there real nicely, and I stood there as he looked at my hair, and he goes, and he smacks it down. I'm like way past the collar, man. And he told me, get your hair cut. You got so many days, and if you don't, you're going to get a fine and work study. I didn't like that. I decided, forget that. I can do what I want to do because I'm my own boss. He's not my boss. The school's not my boss. But guess what I found out real quickly as I got a rude awakening in my spirit? I serve a greater boss than any of those things I mentioned. God. And I fell under the conviction of the Holy Spirit when I realized if I can't submit to the simple, small things in my life, how in the world can he use me with the big things that are coming up? As dumb as that rule may have sounded, I realized I need to cut my hair. What's God's will for you? Cut your hair. Well, that's just plain dumb. Tough. Get over it. Cut your hair. Well, that's dumb. They can't tell me this. Yeah, they can. And they did. And I cut my hair. Guess what? Your girlfriend can't sit on your lap either. Who would have thought? Well, guess what? I knew that. But Tina's, hey, Kevin. Wee. How are we doing? Oh, I got, how many hours did I get out of that? It wasn't my problem. It wasn't my fault. She jumped on me, and then and there's the RD, and I'm like, oh, get off my lap. And she's did I do that well? Pretty close? Well, that's a dumb rule. Guess what? I got in trouble for it. She got a little Phyllis Cuno, we love her so much. Dan and Phyllis Cuno. She's like, oh, Tina, you're a good girl. I know you didn't do anything wrong, so just tell people I punished you. Was that how it was? Something like that? No, never mind. I don't know what I'm talking about. Sometimes the will of God is so simple, and we don't like it. We think, well, God, I'm writing the page of my own book here. I got my own agenda planned, and I'm going down this path, and this isn't even that big a deal. This isn't that important. I can do this. This is fine within my rights. I have every privilege and every right to do so. And God's saying, no, stop it. You're in rebellion, and if I want to use you for the kingdom of God, you got to give me the small things before I can give you the big things. And I had to submit my pride, become one of humility and recognize, dumb or not, I got to submit to my authority. When the cop pulls you over because you're speeding, be gracious and nice, take the ticket. Too many times in ministry I hear these words, or this word, I. I want this. I want that. Or, let's be more honest, I don't want this. I don't like that. It's time that we get over ourselves and ask God what he wants. Well, what he wanted that day was for me to submit to the authority above me and recognize I was in rebellion against him. And if I'm going to be used for the kingdom of God at all, I need to submit to the authority and get on with it. And guess what? It didn't hurt me one bit to cut my hair. Some people actually said it looked nice. What do they know, right? I didn't care about my hair. I was not all about that stuff. But it irked me that they told me I had to do it. It wasn't the hair that the problem was. It was my spirit saying, no. Who do you think you are? Well, guess what? I'm God and you're not. And so I had to submit to that. And I've learned over the years that the small things can become big things when we are in denial and when we are in rebellion. And so let's go to Jonah, chapter 4. Why did Jonah run? His heart's not right. Well, what does that look like? Well, I'll show you what that looks like. Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. What's he mad about? God didn't nuke them. Yeah, he didn't do the God nuke. He didn't throw down the big bomb. He didn't annihilate these people in their evilness, these terrible, evil people. He actually forgave them and showed grace and mercy and kindness because they repented of their sin and they put on sackcloth and they fasted and they prayed, Lord God, forgive us for our evil. And he said, okay. Verse 2, he prayed to the Lord and said, oh Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? You see, in the beginning, we don't see why he runs. All we see is, oh, I'm out of here. I'm going to Tarshish. 2,500 miles away. I'm going to hide from you, Lord. I'm hoping you don't live over there. Because that's where I'm heading. Isn't this what I said when I left, when I was still in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. For I knew that you are a gracious God, a merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me. For it's better for me to die than to live. Wow, isn't Jonah a great guy? What a guy. God shows up, tells him what his plan is. Jonah says, nope, I'm not doing that. Because if I go over and tell Nineveh that they're living with evil desires and evil intents and they're serving the other gods and it's going to bring judgment, they actually might change their ways and God may have mercy on them, and I don't want him to. They deserve hell. They deserve eternal damnation. They deserve destruction. They don't deserve forgiveness. And so Jonah, in his wonderful heart of hearts, decides, I'm not going. I'm not going to go share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. That's what we would say. I'm not going to share about the almighty creator of the universe. That's what he should have said and did. His heart was wrong. That's why he decided to run. Look at Romans. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 through verse 15. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Hallelujah. Even the Ninevites, before Christ came, found God's grace and his forgiveness because they repented of their sin. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But this is the mind that Jonah had, and it turns out he was right. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching to them? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. It's time for a heart check. Have you withheld the opportunities of sharing your faith with someone because you think they may deserve the punishment that's coming? God forbid. I pray that that is not you or anyone I know, because that's horrible. Maybe you are just a little bit intimidated. Maybe you are just a little bit afraid of how the people might react. But if your heart is actually saying they don't deserve, then guess what? You don't deserve the forgiveness you got either. And yet here you are, finding God's grace. Well, I'm not going to share my faith with anybody from that political party. Ouch. Come on. What do I see from my Christian friends all over Facebook? I see a lot of hateful things. Hateful words. Not love, not respect. Shame on us. Shame on us if that is what our heart is actually saying. Is your heart right with God? What's your reason for not heeding the word of the Lord in your life? I am not going to go down that path again. I've been there. I will listen to what the Lord says, and I will follow his lead. I will do my very best to say yes. Why? Because the storm will come. Jonah chapter 1, going back to Jonah once again. Jonah chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. This I find somewhat incredible. The Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. That's a big storm. A ship that is meant to be on that sea, that goes all the way to Tarshish, is not a little boat. It's something that's put together well. It's made to hold up with all kinds of disastrous types of winds, but this ship is so hit by the turmoils of that wind and that sea that it is going to explode. It's going to implode. It's going to break. The mariners were afraid. They each cried out to his God. They hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea and lightened it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. Can you imagine? The ship is so busted up from the winds. They're throwing cargo overboard. They're yelling and shouting. They had to be just to hear each other over the winds, making those commands and following through and heaving the stuff over, losing all opportunity for the merchants to make money just to survive, just to be able to live. And Jonah is doing what? He's sleeping. He's sleeping. Captain comes to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God." In other words, we're all doing everything we can here, and here you are sleeping. Call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish. They said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Interesting, isn't it? These are not God-fearing people. These are idol worshipers. Thinking, well, Jonah's just one of us. You know, let's talk to him the same way that we would talk to each other. You know, call out to your God. I'll call out to my God and one of our gods. Maybe somebody will reveal what's going on here. Well, that didn't work. How about we just cast lots? Let's just randomly draw a straw. Who gets the long straw? Jonah. God is using a very interesting method to reveal it's Jonah that's bringing the storm. They said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And what people are you? He said to them, "I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Bump, bump, bump. I mean, we're serving gods, but you're serving the God. Whoa. Then the men were exceedingly afraid, rightly so. Why did the storm come? Why did the chaos come upon the ship? Why was it about to be destroyed? It was because a man of God refused to obey the call. A man of God refused to listen and heed the word of the Lord. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 13 and verse 14. This is God speaking as the temple is about to be consecrated and dedicated. And these are the words that he shares with the prophet. "When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locust to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people." Who's causing these problems? It's not the devil. It's not Satan. It's not the evil. It's God. God is the one bringing the storm. God is the one that shuts up the heavens so there's no rain. God is the one that brings the locust that devours the land. The pestilence among the people. It's God who is responsible for these things. I want you to hear that because it's important. We give credit to evil when it's God that's doing the work. Yes, we do. And here's the bottom line. It says, verse 14, if my people who are called by my name, not the world, not the evil, not the Ninevite king, not the people of Nineveh, not the ones who are living, serving the idols of this world and the things that are pleasure-seeking. No, it's the people of God that are going to humble themselves and pray and seek his face, turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Why are we in the situation that we are in this world? Why are the judgments of God coming upon us? Why are there more things happening now than ever before that's causing chaos, disaster, hatreds, all these kinds of things? Well, I will tell you why. It's because the church has been asleep, running from God and not doing his will. That's why. It's not because evil is doing evil. It's because righteous is doing evil. Show me a place in the Bible where it's simply, boom, the judgment comes because evil men are doing evil things. Well, hello, duh. Of course evil will do evil. What the problem is when the righteous do evil. When the righteous ignore the will of God, when the righteous turn away from his word and begin doing their thing, their way, and God's way is the highway, no way, I'm not doing it. I'm going from Joppa to Tarshish. I'm out of here. You're asking me to do what? Cut my hair? Are you kidding me? Yeah, I'm not kidding. Cut your hair. But that's just plain dumb. Yeah, it is. Do it. And then, when you've submitted in the small things, I want you to go to that person and I want to share how much I love them. I want you to be able to have an opportunity to make a difference. But we can't get past the haircutting process. We can't get past the fact that it's not okay for your girlfriend to sit on your lap when you're at a Bible college. Which, by the way, I think that's actually a good rule. I'm okay with that. But that's all we see. And God's saying, you need to submit. Live your life in humility. Because I got great things planned out for you. And you can't even give me the smallest, easiest things. Because your heart's not right. And the storm comes and we blame the devil. Oh, the devil's doing this. The evil of this world is bringing it down. No, it's God because you're living in denial of his will and his word and you're running and you're in rebellion. It's time to do the word of the Lord. It's time to say yes when he tells us where to go and what to do. How many people live in this community? Give me a number. 5,000. I've heard 5,000 plus, right? Somewhere between 5 and 6. How many people can the churches of this community hold? I'll tell you this, it's not 5,000. I think I saw the number somewhere around maybe 1,000. If all the churches were full, we might hold 1,000 people. I don't know if that's the actual number or not. It's probably more. We should have to have 2 services every week just to hold the people. That's my heart. There's a lot of people that don't know about Jesus. That live here right in our community. And God says, go to Nineveh. I And we're like, no, I don't think so. I don't know what your Nineveh is. It doesn't matter. But quit running. The storm is yours. The storm is because of you. Quit blaming everybody else for the storm. The storm is when righteous people deny and will not submit to the authority of God. We can live through all kinds of chaos. And I'm not saying that there's some kind of formula of numbers that if people just submit and suddenly all this stuff and this chaos, COVID-19 and the riots and all these racial tensions that have been, I think, propagated up, that suddenly they're going to stop. I don't know that I can go there. But my heart breaks for how many people that call themselves Christian are far from what I would call Christian. And we're living in times that are difficult. But God's word tells us that if we, the people of God, who are chosen, who are called by His name, would humble ourselves and seek His face, turn from our evil ways, He will what? He will hear you. Because until then, He can't even hear your prayer, let alone heal the land. Well, that's Old Testament. Well, it is. But the funny thing about God is that it says He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The way of which we worship has changed. We don't go to a temple and offer an animal sacrifice anymore. We don't appease God for 1 year at a time until the sacrificial lamb finally comes and is slain and is resurrected and becomes the center of all time because He is the Savior of the world. We have seen it. We have experienced it. But God has not changed. He still says, my people need to humble themselves. They need to pray. They need to repent. They need to do it my way. Seek my face. Hear what I have for them. Quit saying I, and saying you. Lord, what do you want in my life? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? How do you want me to live? Instead of keep saying, I want. He's tired of hearing how much you want things. It's time to ask God what He wants. But we can't do it. It's like we're incapable of submitting to His authority. And we want to do it our way. We want to say our prayer. And He's sitting back thinking, I don't know what I got to do to get to these people. I bring the storm. They hunker down. They sleep. They don't even realize it's because of their sin. But He hears Jonah finally when he cries out. Turn to Jonah. Jonah chapter 1, verse 10. They were exceedingly afraid. They asked what to do in verse 11. Verse 12, he says, pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. In other words, I'm to blame. I'm the one. For I know it is because of me that this tempest has come upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard. They did all that they could to stop from having to do that. Then they called out in verse 14 to the Lord. Not their gods now. Now they're praying to the God of Jonah. Let us not perish for this man's life. And they lay not on us innocent blood for you, O Lord. have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah, hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. They offered a sacrifice to God after that, and they made vows. I don't know what that means, but I have a feeling it means they decided this is the true God. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, something that I missed as a child, I didn't quite grasp as a young man, but I've only grasped it as an adult, is this. The fish was not the judgment of God. Being in the belly of that fish was not judgment. That was his salvation. That was his salvation. It's what saved him from certain death. God provided a way of salvation. Turn to chapter 2. Jonah prays to the Lord from the belly of this fish. He calls out to the Lord out of distress. He answered him, "Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice." In other words, you saved me. I was about to die. I was about to drown, and you saved me. From the belly of the fish, he realized he won't die today. You heard my voice. Verse 3, "You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me, and I said, I'm driven away from your sight," which was his goal in the first place. "Yet I shall again look upon your holy temple." In other words, when I die, hopefully I'll be able to see your temple, Lord. "The water closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds are wrapped about my head. The roots of the mountains, I went down to the land where the bars closed up upon me forever. You brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God." I was sinking, I was drowning, I was certainly going to die, and you provided my salvation. You brought a fish. Thank you, God, for saving me. The problem with Jonah was that it took the desperation of death before he finally submitted to the authority of God. May that not ever be me. May it never be you. That we would be so stubborn. That we would be so obstinately rebellious against the Spirit of God. But for some, that's what it takes. Turn to James. James chapter 4. Here's the word of the Lord to the New Testament church. "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." What was I saying? I was saying that we are the ones that bring the storm. Why? Because we're living in rebellion. We are the people that God says, if you humble yourself and pray, seek my face, turn from evil, I'll hear your prayers. And not only will I hear them, I will actually bring healing to the land. But here we have a people that are opposed to God. Why? Because they want it their way. They want to have the pleasures of the world and have a foot in the church at the same time. But that is going to cause enmity. What does that mean? That means God no longer is your friend. You can sing the song all you want, but he is now your enemy. He is going to bring judgment upon you. Verse 5, "Do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says, he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us, but he gives more grace? Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." I'm tired of hearing the church ask this question in so many ways. How far can I be from God and still be saved? Seriously. I don't even know why I'm preaching this message like I am, because I did not expect it to come out this way. I'm like, whoa, God, stop it. But this sounds really harsh. Everybody say amen. But I'm tired of hearing how far you want to get from God. Stop it. I don't know the answer to that question. There is a point when you get so far from God that you lose your salvation, and it's better for you if you'd never heard of Him at all than for you to have heard of Him, experienced His grace, and then fallen away. It is worse for you in hell than the other guy who's been evil his entire life. Really? Yes, that's what the Bible says. So quit trying to get further away from Him, and let's start trying to be closer. Let's start asking God, how can I do it better? How can I let you have more freedom to lead me? How can I be farther from the world and closer to you? But that's not the question I ever hear. I shouldn't say ever. I think there's a few times where it has come across my path that someone is heartbroken because they want to be closer to God. And they've been striving. But usually it's not. Usually it's like, what can I still do and still be saved? How can I be more like the world and yet still be a believer? I don't know. I don't. But I know it's a dangerous question. And I dread and shudder to think that you get so far that you find out. Humble yourselves before the Lord. Do the will of the Lord. While Jonah eventually submitted to God and did what He commanded him to do, I have my doubts if he ever actually repented. Verse 3 of Jonah chapter 4. 4, verse 3. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm still in James. That's not going to work. Jonah is upset because God won't kill them. They deserve death, Lord. I knew that you would bless them with your forgiveness if they repented, so that's why I didn't go. I'm admitting it. And so now I just as soon die. Take my life. I'd rather die than see them forgiven. That's a pretty harsh, sad, bitter man right there. And I will be honest, I question if I can ever ask him what he was thinking. I don't know if he's even in heaven today. Probably the earliest scripture ever given, the book of Jonah, the oldest text that we have, could be about a man who never truly repented and isn't even in heaven today. That's a possibility. Saint Jonah, I don't see no saint. Well, maybe later he repents, right? Let's jump ahead. Let's read some of this. Verse 6. The Lord God appointed a plant, made it come over Jonah, that he might be a shade. There might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. Why is he sitting there? Why does he need shade? Because he decided, I'm going to make a booth, and I'm going to sit here, and I'm going to see, maybe God will still judge them. He's waiting for the bomb to drop. He's waiting to see if God really will relent from sending his judgment upon these people. Maybe they're not sincere. Maybe they're just going through the motions. Maybe they're really still evil, and he's going to bring it on. And I want to see this with my own eyes. He's sitting there hoping and waiting for the destruction to annihilate them completely. And God does something cool. He brings a plant and gives him some shade because God has a lesson that he wants him to learn. When dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant. And so it withered. And when the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. Whew, I'm hot. I'm sweaty. I don't think I can manage this. He asked that he might die again. It's better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, do you well to be angry for the plant? And he said, yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die. And God says to him, you pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. Then he says these words, should not I pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and they also have cattle? Come on, let's laugh over that last part. I'm like, okay, so they got cattle. They got livestock. That one's, I never understood that. I'm sorry, I still don't. What's the point? The point is this. We get to the end of the book, and Jonah, as far as we know, is still angry. He's still angry. That breaks my heart. Because I don't know if he repented. As we close, I'm going to look at one last passage of Scripture. It's in 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 1 through 4. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, and we love God and obey his commands. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commands. His commands are not burdensome. Cut your hair, right? Share your faith with someone who's hurting, with the lost. Verse 4, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Jonah and the will of God. I want to ask you to open your hearts to the will of God. What is he saying to you? What is he challenging you to do and to be in this world of which we live? Last week, I shared some vision that God has laid on my heart. And I believe it's from him. It's not mine. It's not something I've conjured up with some kind of weird reaction from pizza or any other goofy thing. It's the Holy Spirit that is speaking. I believe this. I don't know where some of that leads. But I'm going to take another step tomorrow. And then Tuesday, I'll take another step. And I'm going to keep on walking in faith until I see the conclusion of that vision so that he can give more. Will you join me? Will you listen for the will of God in your life? It's quite possible and likely that God is calling you to go to places you'd rather not go. He might be challenging you to love in ways you never thought you could love. He may be calling you to submit to his way, even though it's not your way. Do it. Don't walk the path of joy. Would you stand with me? Lord God, this was a hard message. Wow. I got riled up. My spirit was riled. I hope that it's not just me, Lord. That was your Holy Spirit that was riling my spirit. We need to hear the hard words sometimes. Sometimes we just need to hear the rebuke. See it for what it is, so that we can submit to your authority and do your will. Some of the things that you're asking us to do, they don't make any sense. They don't seem that big a deal. They seem so small, unimportant, and yet they are critical. They're critical. Because if we can't give you the little stuff, you're not going to entrust us with the big stuff. Lord, I pray that you will just continue to convict our hearts, mine, all of us, that we will know your will and have the courage to submit, regardless of our opinion, regardless of our stubborn pride. But we submit because we take John to heart. We love you. I love you. And I will prove to you my love by saying yes to your command. May we all do so as we go forward with your power, with your authority, with your love in reaching this world for your kingdom. I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a need to